from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opens Indo Defense Expo 2018. Leading a limited meeting of civil servant housing, military and police personnel, President stressed several things. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs highlights Indonesian economic potential to China. Those are the lines, now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the 8th Indo Defense 2018 Expo and Forum, an international defense industry exhibition held at the JI Expo Kemayoran, Central Jakarta on Wednesday. Kalla stated at the opening of the four-day exhibition that the exhibition will offer choices, new knowledge and understanding on how a country can benefit from the technology for its defense and security. Vice President Yusuf Kalla noted that since defense and security are crucial for a country, armed forces were necessary. Indonesia can practice its diplomacy in defense during the 8th Indo Defense 2018 Expo in a bid to create world peace and prosperity. As many as 867 weapons defense companies from 60 countries, including Australia, Greece, Slovakia, Saudi Arabia, and Japan, participated in the exhibition. The foreign companies comprise Rheinmetall, Nexter, Reutech, Turkish Aerospace Industry Incorporation, Police Armament Group, and SVOS. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led a limited cabinet meeting that discussed about housing complex for civil servants, Indonesian military and police personnel on Wednesday at the presidential office in Jakarta. On his briefing, the president said, several important points that needs to be considered on the implementation of the program, such as land, model, finance, and accessibility aspect. President Joko Widodo also underlined the importance of housing availability for the state employees, Indonesian military, and Indonesian police personnel that integrated with economic development that support the region.
Aspek penyiapan lahan dan nanti minta laporan, kemudian apakah hunian ini vertikal atau tidak.
About land preparedness, I want to complete a report later. Is it vertical or not? Secondly, is about working accessibility which connect with integrated economic development activities that support the region and also the payment model. So it can be taken from the state budget or state company or private sector, but what kind of model that will be used? Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said that the government will concentrate on the speed process of the program for 945,000 state employees, 275,000 of Indonesian military personnel, and 360,000 of Indonesian police personnel all over Indonesia. The president also said that this program is aimed to increase the state employees' work spirit of civil servants, military, and police personnel to be more concentrating in doing their duty and give double effect to overcome the economic development that appears from several activities in accelerating the housing development program. Youth is the key to development. The full youth and education cooperation must be continuously improved. This was stated by the Indonesian Minister of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions and the Transmigration, Eko Putro Sanjoyo, in his remarks at the celebration of 100th anniversary of the former Czechoslovakia in Jakarta on Tuesday. Since 1995, Indonesia has invited around 190 Czech Republic students to study in Indonesia through various scholarships.
Since 1995, Indonesia has invited approximately 190 Czech Republic students to learn Bahasa Indonesia through Dharma Siswa Scholarship, as well as through Art and Culture Scholarship Program. Equally, I'm hoping to see more Indonesian students to study at the university in Czech Republic. I'm proud that two oldest universities in Czech Republic are offering Indonesian studies as one of its departments.
Eko Putro Sanjoyo further added that the visit of the President of the Czech Republic Senate in September 2018 have further strengthened bilateral relations and cooperation between the two countries. Also present at the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the foundation of the former Czechoslovakia are Czech Minister of Defense Lubomir Metnar, who leads the Czech Republic delegation at the 2018 Indo-Defense Expo and Forum exhibition in Jakarta. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Panjaitan shed light on the potential of conditions of the Indonesian economy while addressing hundreds of Chinese entrepreneurs at the Export Forum in Shanghai. China has indeed become a major trading partner of Indonesia in various sectors, but there are still many sectors in which cooperation can be established with the country. He made this statement at the Indonesia-China Export Forum, also attended by Minister of Trade Enggartiasto Lukita, Indonesian Ambassador to China and Mongolia Jauhari Orangmangun, as well as Director General of the Ministry of Trade's National Export Development Arlinda. Panjaitan remarked that Indonesia had witnessed massive infrastructure development in 5 years, and the development was not concentrated in Java alone, but also outside it. The infrastructure development includes airports, seaports, electricity, toll roads, and non-toll roads. The massive infrastructure development is carried out by the government to facilitate access to transportation that ultimately drives the national economy. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. PT Pertamina Hulu Energy, PHE, a subsidiary of state-run oil firm PT Pertamina, has recorded an average production of oil and gas at 229,441 barrel oil equivalent per day in September, surpassing its target set at 224,818 equivalent per day. The average oil production in September has reached 80,103 barrels per day, the company said in a statement on Wednesday, while gas production during the period has reached 865 million standard cubic feet per day, or 105% of its target set at 424 million standard cubic feet per day, or MMSCFD. PHE's Director of Operation and Production Ekarija said that among the factors that has boosted the company's performance is 100% participating interest of PHE Offshore Southeast Sumatra, OSES, for oil and gas exploration in Southeast Sumatra block. With increased production of oil in September, the company's average oil lifting has also increased to 81,900 barrel per day from its previous lifting of 61,000 barrel per day. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the economic growth in the third quarter of 2018 of 5.17% was a good achievement amid uncertain global situation. Minister Darmin Nasution stated that this is important because despite the global pressure due to trade wars, normalization of the Fed's policies, and rising CPO prices, we can still maintain growth. He noted that the economic growth, supported by the performance of household consumption and investment, has been relatively adequate despite many internal and external factors that have the potential to cause a slowdown. With this condition, the minister predicted that economic growth at the end of the year could reach 5.2%, even though it had not met the previously set target of 5.4%. However, Nasution highlighted the pace of export that could not contribute to economic growth and the high imports needed for investment in this period. The Indonesian Ministry of Health Nila Farid Moluk and the Ministry of Health, Welfare and Sports of the Netherlands Sibylla Dekker agreed on health cooperation in an effort to strengthen the friendship between the two countries. This was said by Health Minister Nila Moluk on the sidelines of the fifth meeting of the Global Health Security Agenda, GHSA, in Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday. The cooperation was agreed upon in a memorandum of understanding signed by the two ministers. One of the cooperation in the health sector is the cooperation in strengthening the health system, especially the elderly health service, cooperation in controlling infectious disease, including antimicrobial resistance, and cooperation in the field of global health security. At the end of the discussion, the two ministers agreed to immediately realize Indonesia-Netherlands bilateral cooperation in the form of a joint action plan so that their cooperation could be carried out in the form of concrete activities to improve health development in both countries. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here is today's commentary on U.S. midterm election in Donald Trump's change of policy perspective. The people of the United States have cast their votes in midterm election on Tuesday local time. This political event in the United States is a characteristic of the state political system that does not occur in other countries, including Indonesia. There are at least two interesting things from the midterm elections in the United States. First, in terms of numbers, voters in the general election are usually less than the presidential election. The impact of this also does not necessarily change the position of the president. The impact that is very likely to occur is a change in the president's policy changes, especially in the country. Through the general election, the people of the United States elected members of the House of Representatives or Parliament, the Senate, and also gave opinions on a number of actual political agendas. If at the parliamentary level, the results show the victory of the opposition, then at least President Donald Trump will increasingly face obstacles in continuing his main policies in the country. If the result of the midterm elections increase the number of seats of the Democrats, then the balance of power in Parliament will change. If, for example, the Democrats have won a majority vote both in the House and the Senate, a number of foreign policies will get indirect obstacles. Through the commission in the legislature, the Democratic Party can block the process of selecting government officials who take care of foreign policy. The majority of the parliament and senate members from the opposition faction can also re-strengthen the urge to realize an investigation about indications of Russian interference that allegedly helped Donald Trump win in the last election. Changes in foreign policy did not directly change the position won this midterm election. Whatever the Democratic victory in this midterm election, what will happen is increasing domestic political pressure on Trump's policies. What is certain from this midterm election is that the international community can see that the model of democracy in the United States is still running well according to the laws of the country. Well, listener, that was commentary.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Listeners, this is RRI World Service with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on November 7, 1991, the establishment of Chinese Soviet Republic. The Chinese Soviet Republic, or CSR, also known as the Soviet Republic of China or the China Soviet Republic, is often referred to in historical resources as the Jiangxi Soviet, after its largest component territory, the Jiangxi Fujian Soviet. It was established in November 1991 by future Communist Party of China leader Mao Zedong, General Zhu Di and others, and it lasted until 1937. Mao Zedong was both CSR state chairman and prime minister. Mao's tenure as head of a small state within a state gave him experience in mobile warfare and peasant organization. This experience helped him accomplish the communist reunification of China during the late 1940s. The CSR was eventually destroyed by the Kuomintang's National Revolutionary Army in a series of 1934 encirclement campaigns. Following the Xian'an incident of December 1936, the Communists and Kuomintang formed an uneasy united front to resist Japanese pressure, which led to the Communists recognizing, at least for the moment, Chiang Kai-shek as China's leader and the official dissolution of the Soviet Republic on September 22, 1937. On November 7, 1996, NASA launches Mars Global Surveyor. NASA launched Mars Global Surveyor. Mars Global Surveyor was a space vehicle created by the Jet Propulsion Laboratory at NASA. This spacecraft was launched from Cape Canaveral on November 7, 1996, with the aim of mapping the surface of Mars. The mapping began in March 1999 and was completed in January 2001. After the main mission was completed, Mars Global Surveyor was ordered to take photos of other objective objects. On November 2, 2006, this vehicle failed to respond to the message and command. The next communication experiment with the Mars Global Surveyor failed, and the project was officially terminated in January 2007. And listeners, we end Today in History for today with a historical event, namely Myanmar's military junta government moving the state's capital from Yangon to Pyinmana. Pyinmana is a city in Mandalay province, Myanmar. Pyinmana is located about 332 kilometers northern Yangon. The government of military junta of Myanmar moved the capital city from Yangon to Pyinmana on November 7, 2005 at 6:36. Some government officers gave reason of the removal. They said that the city is located in the central area and it is the better place to serve the state's requirements. Pyinmana has a strategic location than Yangon, to anticipate the situation of Myanmar in facing attack. Since March 2006, mass media and the local government institution called the capital city as Nai Pi Thao. In the local language means the capital of the king's residence. Listeners, that was Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to My Indonesia. In today's edition, I will bring you a topic about Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, appreciates influenza virus monitoring online. The World Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, appreciated Director General of Livestock and Animal Health, the Indonesian Ministry of Agriculture, that managed to develop innovation network for controlling and prevention of avian influenza or bird flu. The network is influenza virus monitoring online, a system to monitoring antigenic and genetic of the virus, especially highly pathogenic avian influenza for poultry in Indonesia. The system is integrated by online and the result can be displayed in a map. The innovation network has successfully characterized antigenic, genetic, and biological avian influenza virus isolates. Representative of Nigeria to FAO, Yaya Adisa Olaitan Olaniran, along with nine other FAO delegates, expressed their appreciation during a visit to Yogyakarta Wetes Veterinary Center last week. The delegates said since its launch in 2014, the influenza virus monitoring online has had a significant impact on effort to control and prevent bird flu. The Influenza Virus Monitoring Online program is the collaboration of the Indonesian government with FAO and OFFLU. The OFFLU is part of the collaboration of FAO and the World Animal Health Organization, which consists of experts in the field of bird flu. The cooperation between FAO and OFFLU with the Indonesian government aims to improving the virus monitoring evolution change system and early detection of a new variant of avian influenza virus in Indonesia. In the cooperation, Indonesia has the support of reference laboratories of the World Animal Health Organizations, such as the Australian Animal Health Laboratory. Meanwhile, Head of Sub-Directorate of Observation of Animal Health Diseases, Directorate General of Animal Husbandry and Animal Health, the Ministry of Agriculture Buti Angkasa, said that users of influenza virus monitoring online will easily find out the position of circulating bird flu virus in Indonesia and immediately report it to policy makers. Therefore, the development of the types of highly pathogenic avian influenza viruses throughout Indonesia can be monitored. This step can help to determine the strategy of control and eradication of bird virus accurately. Buti explained that the performance of influenza virus monitoring online has been integrated with the National Animal Health Information System for preliminary data. The influenza virus monitoring online is supported by around 40 experts and includes 8 diagnostic laboratories throughout Java Island. Not only Yogyakarta, FAO delegates also visited some other cities in Indonesia to see the development of agricultural projects as the result of cooperation of FAO with Indonesia. That was My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief from Daulat Pani. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla opened the 8th Indo-Defense 2018 Expo and Forum, an international defense industry exhibition held at the JI Expo Kemayoran in central Jakarta on Wednesday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo led a limited cabinet meeting that discussed about housing complex for civil servants, Indonesian military and police personnel on Wednesday. Youth is the key to development, therefore youth and education cooperation must be continuously improved. This was stated by Indonesian Minister of Village Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Eko Putro Sanjoyo in his remarks at the celebration of 100th anniversary of the foundation of the former Czechoslovakia in Jakarta on Tuesday. Coordinating Minister of Maritime Affairs Luhut Panjaitan shed light on the potential and conditions of the Indonesian economy while addressing hundreds of Chinese entrepreneurs at the Export Forum in Shanghai. PT Pertamina Hulu Energy PHE, a subsidiary of state-run oil firm PT Pertamina, has recorded an average production of oil and gas at 229,441 barrels oil equivalent per day in September, surpassing its target set at 224,418 barrels per day. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the economic growth in the third quarter of 2018 of 5.17% was a good achievement amid uncertain global situation. The Indonesian Ministry of Health Nila Farid Muluk and the Ministry of Health, Welfare and Sports of the Netherlands, Sibylle Dekker, agreed on health cooperation in an effort to strengthen the friendship between the two countries. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to typical food from Banyuwangi. Stay tuned. Banyuwangi has many potential tourism objects. Currently, the Regency in East Java Province is expanding facilities in some tourism objects. Its goal is to become favorite city of tourists for touring. In addition, Banyuwangi also introduces many kinds of typical food. One of them is that food which was introduced in Banyuwangi Culinary Festival 2018 on April 12. In the event which has been held annually since 2013, the Banyuwangi administration introduced kesrut chicken. Listeners, kesrut chicken is also called uyah asam. The word of kesrut itself is taken from how to eat the food, which is a spirited or local people call it kesrut. Meanwhile, the name of uyah asam is taken from its flavor, which is salty, fresh and sour. Its ingredients are also fresh. In accordance with its name, the food has raw ingredients from chicken. Banyuwangi typical food generally uses young local chicken in order the food will be more special. Listeners, kesrut chicken has been popular since 1950s, after the Japanese invaders arrived in Indonesia. The content of the food varied. At that time, kasrut chicken contained not only meat but also chicken bones, such as clowns and wings. This is called balungan. It was because people were difficult to find foodstuff during the Japanese time, so that people made foods with the existing stuff. Listeners, kasrut chicken has savory and hot sour broth. The savory flavor is from chicken broth, while its hot sour flavor is from its ingredients. The ingredients to make kasrut chicken are chili, red onion, garlic, galangal, shrimp paste, and also averhoa belimbi. To cook the food is not quite difficult. Firstly, the chicken is boiled until soft. Then the ingredients are fried. Then the boiling chicken is put into the fried ingredients. And the last, the averhoa belimbi, which has been cut into small pieces, is put in so that its broth will taste sour. Kasrut chicken is usually served with rice, extra dishes such as tofu, tempeh, or tofu pepes. Pepes an Indonesian cooking method using banana leaf as food wrappings. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring kasrut chicken from Banyuwangi. Thank you for listening.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is cooperation between RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Semoga Panjang Umur, or in English, Wish You Long Life. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about semoga panjang umur, or in English, wish you long life. Tony celebrating birthday. Dinda and Tony give surprise, then wishing Tony a happy birthday and prayer.
Selamat ulang tahun ya. Semoga panjang umur dan bahagia.
Terima kasih. Ngomong-ngomong, dari mana kalian tahu hari ulang tahunku?
Dari Facebook.
Oh, baiklah.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice, slowly, and you can follow after me. Panjang umur, panjang umur. Long life, sehat. In English, healthy. Bahagia. In English, happy. Sejahtera, in English, prosperous. Omong-omong, in English, by the way, impianmu menjadi kenyataan. In English, your dream comes true. Selamat ulang tahun,
in English, happy birthday.
Dari mana kalian tahu hari ulang tahunku?
In English, how do you know my birthday?
Dari Facebook.
In English, from Facebook.
In the dialogue, you heard that and that dedicated prayer to Tony, who celebrate birthday. She wish Tony long life and happy. When someone celebrate birthday, people usually wish prayer and expectation. Next, let's follow expressions of prayer and expectation in Indonesian language for birthday occasion. Semoga panjang umur, or wish you long life. Semoga kamu selalu sehat, or hope you are always healthy. Semoga kamu selalu bahagia dan sejahtera. In English, may you always be happy and prosperous. Semoga impianmu menjadi kenyataan. In English, may your dreams come true. Next, Tony said that, omong-omong, dari mana kalian tahu hari ulang tahunku? In English, by the way, how do you know my birthday? The word omong-omong is usually only used in an informal conversation. When you meet Indonesian people, perhaps you will often hear they say ngomong-ngomong, then omong-omong. The word ngomong-ngomong has the same meaning and function with omong-omong. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today, let's follow again the conversation.
Selamat ulang tahun ya. Semoga panjang umur dan bahagia.
Terima kasih. Omong-omong, dari mana kalian tahu hari ulang tahunku?
Dari Facebook.
Oh, baiklah.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Music Corner, a segment which presents information about Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present you several songs of a duet pop group Banda Nera. One of characteristics of Banda Nera's music is its simplicity. The pop genre, Son of Guitar of Ananda Badudu, is harmonic in accompanying vocalist Rara Sekar. The lyric of the song sung by Banda Nera is poetic and has deep meaning. The melodious voice of Rara Sekar, an elder sister of a pop singer Isyana Saraswati, embodies many themes in her songs. To start our program, let's listen to a song entitled Mewangi by Banda Nera.
Yeah.
Listener, you have just listened to a song entitled Mawangi by Bandanera. It is a duo group initiated by unplanned actions of the two personnel of the group music. Their unplanned action created four songs, namely Di Atas Kapal Kertas, Ke Entah Berantah, Kau Keluhkan, and Rindu, which is the musicalizations of Subagio Sastrowardoyo's poem. They uploaded their opus and spread through social media, namely SoundCloud. They have been well known by this way. They got positive response and finally they agreed to continue this music project at the end of 2012. They are so enthusiastic. They have four songs in August and at the same year, in December, they have six new albums for full album of Banda Neira. Banda Neira has released two albums, namely Di Paruh Waktu in 2013 and Yang Patah Tumbuh, Yang Hilang Berganti in 2016 during 4 years of their work. Listener, let me present you another song of Banda Neira entitled Sampai Jadi Debu.
Bunga. jadilah bunga, bunga.
That's a song Sampai Jadi Debu by Banda Nera. It was officially disbanded in December last year. It was stated by two personnel through official Instagram account of Banda Nera. They said that they have considered for much time about dissolution of their group. Previously, Banda Nera has decided to vacuum after they released Yang Patah Tumbuh, Yang Hilang Berganti in 2016. Many people were so sorry over the dissolutions of Banda Nera. Moreover, this group of music has brought new character of music in Indonesia through their songs entitled Langit dan Laut. Listener, to end our music corner, I will present you two more songs by Banda Nera entitled Pelangi and Lama Lera's Dream. Have a nice listening and see you on next music corner. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz.
You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.